On Thursday's front page, Senate Republicans agreed to a deal that covers medical costs for 9/11 responders. After a last-minute compromise, the Republicans dropped their objections to a multi-billion dollar package of benefits. In the 3 months since Israel ended its construction freeze, there's been a boom in settlement building in the West Bank. And there's a reason the parking lots at malls are jammed all of a sudden. The last-minute holiday shopper is back. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity and entertainment system that features music search with the sound of your voice. Simply say the name of a song, band, artist, or genre of music available on your MP3 player to browse and play the music you want to hear. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Our top story says the Senate passed legislation to provide up to $4.2 billion for first responders at the World Trade Center. The measure was the product of a last-minute compromise that let the Senate go home for the holidays. Among other things, the bill will pay for monitoring and treating emergency workers' illnesses. It also reopens a victims' compensation fund. That will help people who live near the Twin Towers. Republicans initially balked at the money package. They changed their minds after Fox News anchor Shepard Smith and Comedy Central host Jon Stewart championed the bill. Thursday's Times says New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand played a major role in pushing it through, but Deputy Metro Editor Carolyn Ryan says that wasn't all Ms. Gillibrand did this week as Congress prepared to adjourn.
She was also critical in the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the military policy that prevented gays from serving openly. She had pushed for hearings on that bill, and she was instrumental in bringing public attention to it. It's a moment where she's really come into her own as a senator, and she got involved in this issue partly because it was an issue in search of a champion, and she was a new senator, and she needed an issue. Hillary Clinton moved on and became Secretary of State in early 2009, and suddenly we had a senator in the great state of New York most of us hadn't heard of. Now she's starting to develop an identity, and that's why this is a big moment for her.
Deputy Metro Editor Carolyn Ryan. In the 3 months since Israel ended its construction freeze, there's been a boom in settlement building in the West Bank. Times reporter Ethan Bronner says the hotspots are in remote communities that probably won't be part of Israel if there's a two-state peace deal. That means that if negotiations ever get back on track, there'll be thousands of Israelis who'll have to be relocated while officials create a Palestinian state where they're living now. Thursday's front page looks at how the death of a Russian lawyer named Sergei Magnitsky sent shudders through Moscow's elite and how the official investigation that followed was a whitewash. Magnitsky had been arrested after accusing police investigators of tax fraud. He died in prison while he was awaiting trial. Prison officials say he died of a sudden heart problem. The head of an independent oversight panel has doubts about that, but even official investigators couldn't pin down exactly when or where Magnitsky died. The 16 medical schools in New York State are campaigning against med schools in the Caribbean that promise training here. The New York schools want the State Board of Regents to make it harder for the foreign schools to use New York hospitals as extensions of their own campuses. Deans of schools in the Caribbean say that could put them in jeopardy. They say they can't provide the hands-on training a doctor needs to be licensed in the U.S. The last-minute holiday shopper is back this year. Times reporter Stephanie Clifford says the latest figures show mall sales rose last weekend. By one estimate, they were up 5.5% compared with the final weekend before Christmas a year ago. ShopperTrack is predicting today will be second only to Black Friday in dollar sales. Even the bad weather seems to be helping retailers. The only place you can find a Patagonia medium white fleece jacket is in Honolulu. It's sold out everywhere else. We'll go inside Thursday's Times after this.
This New York Times podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity and entertainment system that features music search with the sound of your voice. When you have Sync, you can simply say the name of a song, band, artist, or genre of music available on your MP3 player to browse and play the music you want to hear. You can also use the controls included in your vehicle's sound system to control most MP3 players. Sync is a system that's subscription-free, and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Inside Thursday's Times, the Senate gave final approval to the new arms control treaty with Russia. It calls for scaling back leftover Cold War nuclear arsenals. The vote was 71-26. 13 Republicans broke with their top two leaders and crossed the aisle, providing the necessary two-thirds vote. In Moscow, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov welcomed the vote, but said Russia still needs to review the accompanying Senate resolution. The vote capped a lame duck session of Congress that was a big success for President Obama. Times reporter Cheryl Gay Stolberg looks back at what he's accomplished since the midterm elections and what he'll face when the next Congress takes office.
The president can head off to his Christmas vacation in Hawaii feeling pretty good. Looking ahead to next year, though, he'll continue to have some fights with the Republicans, certainly over health care. They want to repeal the bill. And so he's going to have a delicate balancing act to do, trying to reach out to Republicans and follow what he thinks is the mandate of the voters for more bipartisanship, while at the same time not alienating Democrats as he heads into his own 2012 reelection campaign.
Times reporter Cheryl Gay Stolberg. And meet the Denisovans. They're cousins to Neanderthals who lived in Asia until about 50,000 years ago. All they left behind were a broken finger bone and a wisdom tooth. But they had children with the ancestors of today's inhabitants of New Guinea. And by analyzing their ancient DNA, researchers figured out the genomes of New Guineans are about 5% Denisovan. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.